The message you are about to hear is provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the life that we have. We thank you for the blessings. We thank you not just for our resources, money, but also for our time. Time that you gave us, that we can come together here as one body and worship you and praise you. Lord, we want to pray for our nations, like Steve pointed out. We pray, Lord, that you help us, the church, to be the light, even in this somehow dark moment. Father, that we will show your love and your will and your way, and ask ourselves, if you were standing right beside us, what would we have done? What would we have said? Father, I also want to thank you for bringing Pastor Ken and Mary back safely from their vacation. Lord, we praise you for Calvary, and we keep on praying that you help us to reach out to our neighbors and let them know that you died. You paid the price for their sins, that even though Satan might try to bring back the past and make them feel guilty, you've made a way for them to the Father. Father, I also want to praise you for all that you've given us, resources to make life easier. We pray that that should not take your place in our lives. Help us not to build our security on what we have, but to build our security in your love, that you love us and you chose us. And we will spend eternity with you. That's a hope we have, and that's our security. We love you, Lord, and we thank you for today. Bless our worship. Let it be a sacrifice of a sweet smell before you. In Jesus' name, amen. We thank the Lord for the privilege to be able to read and understand His Word. The reason why I say so is because I'm still learning English, and I told Alyssa it's just beautiful to, you know, grow up and with a different dialect, and mainly French, and to be able to read Bible, the Word of God, in the different languages, French, English, and it's still the same, and you can understand it. I'm glad for that. Sometimes, yeah, I wish I don't listen to NPR radio, and I wish I don't understand English. So now it's like, because you don't have to be listening. You can use that time to pray. Because I have to drive to work about 30 minutes in a car. So, but all that I'm saying is, it's a blessing to have the Word of God. Not just that. To have the freedom, to have the access. There are other people who don't have that. And we're going to be talking about the Word today. Talk about the Word of God. But today we're going to be in the book of John. It's going to be a series. John chapter 1. It's a chapter that a lot of theologians try to stay away from. Why? Because especially the first 5 verses, it's really difficult to really explain it and get down to the root. But we are not in a seminary here, so we want to present the Word as it is to the people as they are, and let the Holy Spirit take control and use it in their lives. That being said, the title of the message today is The Eternal Word is Life. The Eternal Word is Life. I put down from John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 34. But I'm not sure I can get there. Maybe just till 12 at this point. Why the choice of this book? The book of John has one main theme. Jesus is the Son of God. If there is any identity of Jesus that has been mostly criticized, is the fact that Jesus is the Son of God. Go to Islam, Buddhism, all that. They hate it when you say that. You can say Jesus is a great was a great teacher ever, the word ever known. They don't have a problem with that. You can say Jesus is a prophet. They don't have a problem with that. Why? When you say Jesus is the Son of God, then the persecution is just rising. You can see the tension building up in their faces. Why? In the book of John, John took a different approach about helping us understand and know Jesus' true identity. That's different than what Matthew and Luke did, even Mark. For instance, you took Matthew, he traced Jesus beginning from genealogy. You take Luke, he did it through the birthplace or the nativity. But John traced Jesus all the way back. In a sense that if you put Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, you put John chapter 1, verse 1, it's like, whoa, John knew what he was talking about. He said, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. You see, in a Christian believer, in our faith, we cannot trace time back further than God. We just can't. And John is saying that in the beginning was the Word, not a word. Very definite article. The Word was with God. That's also something to a little bit difficult to wrap your head around it. The Word was with God. Okay. Is this a form of possession? I mean, God had the Word. Is it a form of cohabitation? That means here is God, here is the Word. Or the third option, the Word is God, the unity, the oneness. And I believe that from this context, that's what the, I don't know when they translate, they put with God over there, but I look at the text, I don't know any other way you can translate it yourself. The Word was with God. Because for me, I wanted to understand. And that has been my problem in these books. Like, I want to understand, what does John mean when he said the Word was with God? But as I studied it more and pray more about it, it's not just like, okay, God was in that corner, the Word was over there in heaven. But it means the oneness, that unity that was the Word had with God. And John did just let us hanging in there. He just said that the Word was God. If you look at the JW Bible, I'm going to say it, the translation there is different. They said the Word was a God. And they put a low J out there. I mean G. So the question is, even if they say it was a God, what kind of small God was living with eternal God? So I don't know who translated that, and my intention not to mock them, but it doesn't make any rational sense to me reading that. But if God said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God, then you can see already that the Word they're talking about is God. It was with God. It's not just God's breathed Word that we're reading, but God and the Word are one. So we're going to talk about three main things in this message. The first one is going to be Jesus, the Son of God. What does that mean to us? The second one is going to be the witnesses of Christ. And the third is, how are we going to apply this? How are we going to be? We're going to see momentarily, but the Bible said, John witness, or the title from verse 6 up, it said, John's witness. Okay, what about Cuss's witness? What about Andy's witness? What about other people's witnesses? We're going to look into that. From verse 2, he said, He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. That 2 and 3. So if John is saying he was in the beginning with God, that means, I've explained it already, that this is not talking about the cohabitation or the possession. It's talking about the oneness. They are together. In the verse 3, it says, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made. Okay. And Cuss is going like, okay, probably I'm struggling with the English too, but John, what are you trying to say here? I can just say, well, Jesus is the creator of the universe. But someone said, well, when I read the Genesis, that's not what I read. Okay, help me understand this. What John is saying simply here, not to, you know, dramatize this or bring any big theology into it, is that the Word was a part of the creation. Not that he was created, but when they were creating, the Word was there. They did it together. Why did God use the plural pronoun, let us, to Babel, to confuse the language of the people? God didn't say, let me go down there and then rearrange the language of the people. He said, let us go down there. That plurality is consistent with John's message here, or John's theology, that there is no contradiction. Because if John said the Word was God, does that mean we had the two gods at the beginning? No. That's why I said it earlier on, that it's talking about the oneness, the unity. If people who are now married and they're cohabitating is not oneness, they're living together, they're sharing. But if there is a unity, the Bible says in the marriage, they become what? One flesh. That oneness is what God, John is talking about. So, this is not two gods, but one God. As the Father, the Son, at this point, and we're going to see the Holy Spirit. So, when another proof that the Word that John is talking about also took part of the creation, how do we know that? When we look at, I believe, is Matthew chapter 8. Can't find it here in my note, but I'm pretty sure. When the disciples, they were drowning, they get into the boat, and, you know, the sea began raging. Jesus, first of all, rebuked them, but then he asked them, why are you guys having, or you people of, you know, little faith? I believe that's what he said. But what happened next? The Bible said that Jesus calmed down the sea. Now, the verse in that chapter, I believe 8:27, I believe we should go there. It's very important. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Maybe I should get a different glasses, right? Yeah. So chapter 8, verse 27. Look at the statement. So the man marveled, saying, who can this be, that even winds and the sea obey him? You want to talk about John saying that in the beginning was the Word. There was nothing that was created without Him. Are you surprised that when He told the creation to listen, the creation listened? That's what John is talking about here. He knew very well what he was talking about. And it's so, I love it when the Bible says something and you want to find the evidence and you went and you just see it right there. That John was not making it up, that this guy is not part of the creation. Other than that, the sea would have not recognized him. The verse 4 saying that in him was life, and the life was the light of men. In him, in the Word, was life, and the life was the light of men. What is that supposed to mean? What life was in the Word that became the life of man? We just read Isaiah 53. The life that Jesus had in him as the Word is what he gave on the cross. So that we have life and we have light. But because John had in mind what he was getting at, he said that the light, the life that was in the Word, is the life of man. I believe we should read the verse 5 too. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But what John is trying to point out here is that the Word did not just came in. The Word is not just about God doing what He is doing. The Word has a purpose to give life to people like us. The Word has the goal that His life will become light. I tell you what, without Jesus Christ, some of us won't be here. And I think you too. So, someone who does not know Christ is in the darkness. Now, if you just walk to someone on the street and you want to evangelize him and you say that, probably you're going to have a lot of issues. You're going to have a problem. What darkness? I see around me, there is electricity. What darkness are you talking about? They wouldn't get it. Never. But within ourselves, there is that cloud of darkness that we had before we knew Christ. Some of you are blessed to know the Lord from young age. But if you haven't, till later on, you can understand what I'm talking about. The fear, the struggle, anger issue, guilt, the past, all this kind of haunting every day, every single time, till we find we get the life from Jesus. Why has He become our light? Because His life transformed our darkness, and now we shine. People will say, well, we knew you before. It seems like we've seen someone different. What happened to you? It's Jesus. His life gives me light. In the verse 5, it says that the light shines in the darkness. And remember, in some version, the light has, one has a capital L and one has a lower L. Still here, the light is lower L. That was the light that Jesus gave us, the eternal life that can shine to people to know that, well, if I didn't know Christ, maybe I would have done what you're doing. The difference here is that I know Christ and I fear the Lord. That's the light I have. But then he said that it shines, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Do you know the reason why people call believers, they are weird? This is what John is talking about. They don't get it. They don't understand. They say we're weird. And I said, oftentimes when they use that word, I said, I don't understand. What does that mean, being weird? What do you mean? Can you explain that? I said, it's weird. It's different. Well, difference doesn't mean weird. But because there is no other word they can use to describe who we are, then they say Christians are weird. They don't understand. The life that was in a Christ that became the light in us, and we try to live that life in the Word and we shine, they don't get it. Then they say, well, you guys are, you know, you judge other people. Well, we don't judge. We know what the Word is saying, and we want to stand on the Word. You might have a different take on it, but I think it's just going to be very stupid to know that there is a deep 100 feet well right there and turn off your flashlight and walk into it and die. That doesn't make sense. In my village, a guy did something like that. He was going back home from a meeting, and he had a flashlight in hand. We don't have all our street lit up. And so then he would turn it on, he would turn it off. True story. And turn off the flashlight. So he realized that something happened, kind of something pricked him. And he turned on the light, and he realized that that's a snake walking away. I was like, wait, I hope that's not me. Oh, boy. Within 5 minutes, his feet is swelling very bad. You know what he did? He threw away the flashlight. Do you know why he did that? Because it doesn't make sense to have the light, to have a flashlight, turn it off, and get bit by a snake. When people say the thing, you just, I don't want to use the word. It's like, that's really dumb. I don't want to do that. So the first thing he did, he tossed the flashlight. Boy, excuse me. So then when people come, it's like, yeah, I get bit by a snake because I don't have the light. But you do. You did have the light. The light is supposed to shine. That's why Jesus said, nobody lit a lamp and hide it. But you put it somewhere that everybody can see it. There is no critical, any rational explanation to have a flashlight in hand working. The bulb is not out. Turn it off and get bit by a snake. It's funny. But that's how some believers are living their lives. While some of us are trying to do what we believe we're called to do, we try to shine, but they don't recognize it. Well, I think that it's not that they don't recognize it. I believe they don't want to. They don't want to accept that in Christ there is right, there is wrong. You don't define that. If you have Christ's light living within you, you know that certain things are right. Some of them are wrong. It's just that. But because they don't understand this lie, they think we're weird. Because what we call wrong, they call it right. From verse 6 and up and going down, the Bible is saying that, or John is saying here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness to bear witness of the light that all through him might believe. There was a man sent. His name was John. What was his mission? Bear witness. Witness of the light. And if you have New King James, like I do, you see that now. That light has been capitalized. John didn't come up to witness about the eternal life Jesus put in me, that is my light, the lower L. He's witnessing about Jesus himself being the light. I believe that's why in the translation here, this time, the light is capitalized, or the L. I was asking myself, if this says John's witness, I believe in my Bible, that's what it's saying, that John's witness to the true light. What about my name there? What about your name there? What kind of witness did John did? John, if you read the chapter, John did not witness so that people can see him. In fact, he said, this is not about me. I'm just a forerunner. It's to pave a way for Jesus to be known. How many times we try to evangelize people or share Christ with them and we ended up turning them away simply because we think this is about us. I want to be known. I want to make a name for myself. I want to be seen. That's not the goal. If that's the case, then they will not know the Lord. How did John did it? And how are we doing? Each of us are witnesses. I believe we have the opportunity, we have the motive, we have the means to do it. But then sometimes when you look at evangelists or reaching out to other people, it seems like we don't have it all, but we do. So I understand, in investigation, if three things are met, you can be placed under arrest. One, you had opportunity, you had the means, you had the intention. So inspector can say, I'm placing you under arrest, and you're not allowed to say anything till you appear before the judge. Anything you're going to say will count against you as a witness. But then bringing it to this perspective, to be the kind of witnesses to reach out to other people that John did, John had the opportunity, he had the intention, he had the means. So do I. So do you. We had the opportunity, we meet people all around. We have the means. We can talk to people. We don't have to walk kilometers or miles to talk to people. One thing I believe is lacking is the intentionality, the purpose. To be very dedicated that, Lord, I know I cannot fill these empty benches by myself, but I want to go there and witness to them, even if they decide to go to another church. But what are my decision personally, the active part of reaching out to people and witness? The circumstance in which John witnessed to the people about Jesus was a very difficult one. In fact, later on we're going to see that it actually led to his death, because he doesn't want to see the wrong call it right. People are okay with you to have friendship with you till you stand on your biblical convictions and you call wrong wrong, right right. That's why even evangelical Christians, I believe we kind of run into this mode of tolerance. We don't want to offend anybody. You know, we don't want to turn away our kids. We love them. We pray one day they're going to come to the Lord. Well, the first believers, if they had just to sit down and pray, I don't even think we'll be where we are in our Christian journey. There were people who were very active. I'm not saying that we earn our salvation by work, but I also believe when we are saved, Jesus said, I send you. I send you to the people. What definite plan, or even a strategic plan, intention, do you have, do I have, that this week at least one person, I can tell you, maybe you can talk to 10 people about what's going on politically, in the realm of politics. But how many times do we can boldly say, brother, what is your relationship with King Jesus? I'm not going to sugarcoat it. Don't need a theology. It's just a plain question. Do you believe in God? I don't. Why? A guy in my cubicle. Probably he hates me by now, but he's still friendly. I said, Jared, do you believe in God? I said, I don't. And then he just turned right away to his computer. Kind of, I don't want more. So what I realized is like, I now have to show him why I believe in Christ. Build a relationship. But why is it so hard, so difficult to really just say, do you know Christ? We can talk about anything, everything else, except that. That wasn't John witness. No, it wasn't. So verse 8 is saying that John was not the light. The verse will say, he was not the light, which is true, but was sent to bear witness of the light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. So they said, the life that was in the world gave us light. Now they said, the light is giving us light. A lot of L words here, right? Can it be confusing? But it's very simple to understand. All Jesus is saying here, or all that John wants us to know here, is that the eternal word is the true light. Anybody can come. Jesus said, even after me, there will be people, they will say, I'm this prophet, I'm that one. People are willing to take Gandhi and Nelson Mandela and all the people more seriously than what Jesus said and who we claim to be. And John is telling us here that though Jesus, he traced him all the way from the beginning that he's God. He said he just didn't come to be boss over us, but he came us to give us light. I bet without that light, we'll be in the darkness forever. I believe one thing that will help me, that maybe one day if my time comes that I will die, that I won't be afraid, is the fact that I know where I'm going. I have eternal life. I have hope. I'll be very terrified if I don't, or even I'm not sure of it. But there are other people, bunch of them out there without that hope. And who will go? Paul said, how can they hear without a preacher? And who is that preacher? You and I. Verse 10, he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. Huh. Something that I've talked to some parents, something that bothers them more, is to have their children, they really sacrificed, raised, and they grown up, they move around to other states or other countries. And it's just so difficult for them to even pick up a phone and call them and say, Mom, how are you doing? Or Dad, how are you doing? All that I'm saying here is created. The Bible said there is nothing that was created without the Word. And Jesus was there and made all that. And yet he came and they did not recognize him. That must be really difficult. In fact, he was even rejected by his own siblings. Go out there. You want to be seen, you want to preach, you are a prophet, then go there, do it here, not here. Because they didn't even believe in him. We still pray for Israel because Joshua is not still the Messiah they were hoping for. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is not you, like you and I? When the people aren't grateful, then you seem like you want to give up. It's like, okay, I'm done. I quit. They did not recognize him. They did not accept his authority. They did not invite him into their lives. And yet, Jesus didn't quit till he accomplished the last thing he had to do on the cross. Praise the Lord. I am grateful for that. The world did not recognize him. And they will not do it by themselves unless we go to them. In verse 12, it said, but as many, the contrast. First of all, it said, the Word came into the world, or he was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But, the contrast, as many as received him, to them he gave the right. I think I like the translation, to them he gave the power to become what? Children of God. Amen. Oh, I love that. Yeah, I do. Because see, that's our life right there. I cannot become a children of God by myself. Maybe because of shame, I don't even want to come closer to God. One of the reasons why people claim that there is no God is just they don't want to know. So like if I become a believer, I know I'm going to be accountable. I'm going to know that what I call wrong, or what is wrong, I call right, I got to call it now. So they decide to do that. But the Bible is saying that as many that came to the Lord, he gave them the power or the right to become the children of God. Maybe we can still go with the word right in a sense of adoption. Maybe we weren't God's biological children, but we have that right. If he is that, he can have our name in his testament. But thank God he's not going to die. God doesn't die. Praise the Lord. See? He gave us right to become children of God, as many as believe in his name. Though you've been a Christian for a very long time, do you still cast doubt if you truly believe in Christ? If you truly the Son of God? If you either have this right that you can claim your identity as the Son of God or the daughter of God, never been too late. Because that's the reason why he came into the world. And Jesus wants us to know that the Son of God has a power over everything. Death, creation, anything. Why he has all this power to be able to save us. He's also sinless. In verse 29, he's going to say that this is the Lamb of God, in whom there is no sin. And he said that, but to those who believe in his name, verse 13, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Like I mentioned it before, it's because of the Lord. Because the Lord sent Jesus Christ himself, and all that he did, he gave us right to become his children. We sang the song earlier on, even when Satan, you know, tempts us to despair. You know, I want to remind you all of this past and guilt. But there is someone, upward I look at him there, who made an end to all my sin because a sinless Savior died. Now, the most interesting part is the verse 14. When John said, in the beginning was the Word, and he's continuing all this progress to tell us how Jesus is the Son of God, how he has the power, he gave us light, and this Word became flesh. If John would have said in the beginning was Jesus and nothing was created without Jesus, I think it would throw many people off if we look at the Genesis account. But he built all this step by step, and he's still coming closer. Do you see the name of Jesus appearing so far? No. Verse 14. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. What did John say? We beheld his glory. John is not just talking about himself. Because when this Word, that was the light and the life of men, became flesh, everybody around John, all the people, they saw it. And John want to make sure, bear that witness that they know that the Word is Jesus, the Son of God. And that's our mission. That's our goal. How do we get there? Even why some of us are not so effective in it? John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, this was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. The law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through who? Jesus. Oh, John, thank you. Finally mentioned it. Now I know what you're talking about. But without all this above, what would that name Jesus mean to you? Now, I think when I read this from verse 1 all the way to this verse 16, when I see the name Jesus, so I praise the Lord. The law came through Moses. The law is just to reveal how wicked, how crooked, how sinful we are. But grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. Jesus is not going to lie to you who you are. But then even though he's telling the truth, he's also telling you there is a way. He knows us. He knows our heart. And yet because of his grace, he said his arms are always open. We can walk to him. In fact, the Bible said that, therefore we shall come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and grace to help in time of need. Hebrews 4. I have so many things here, but I think I will stop here. In this series, my goal is, sometimes I ask myself, Kasi, do you truly know the Lord? Because if you do, then there has to be, you know, a progress, a growth, a form of growth in how you serve the Lord. And so my desire is that as we start this journey and we continue, we know who Jesus is, but I believe it's good for us to know this Jesus the way John wants us to know him. If I will leave you with one application that I've been burning on my heart, is that the light that Jesus gave you and I is to use in the darkness and shine. It requires us to talk to people. I know we are busy, we got to work, we got to do different things. But could you please make that plan? I can't tell you the number of people you want to talk to in a week. The number of people you want to reach out to. I don't know if it will be at your workplace or your community in any other way. I will encourage you that we become more intentional about this. We have the opportunities. We have the means. Only the third thing is missing. The intentionality. Purpose in my heart that I want to reach out to this person. And the Lord did not ask us to change anybody, to save anybody. He just said we should say it. The Holy Spirit will take care of the rest. I think one thing that Pastor Ken oftentimes says, it's very challenging, but I like it. He said, when you look around, who would you say that is sitting here because I brought him here? He's not trying to burden us, but I believe it's very important to think about that. Even if we know they're not going to come. Jesus knew that they're going to reject the truth. Pharisees will never accept the truth. And yet, he told them. We still have time. We still have light. One thing that I always think about is a verse in the Bible. Jesus said, I must do the work of he who sent me. For night is coming when no one can work. Anytime it pops in my mind, I feel like, whoa. Now, if you want to take that verse either literally or not, the meaning is still the same. If you want to consider that darkness talking about or that night is coming as when the sun goes down, it's still the same. Have you find yourself working on a project that you really love and you check your clock, it's like, oh shoot, it's so late. You want to keep on going, but you know that you got to go to bed. I've been there. The night has come, you know you can't do much. But you know what? That night is not necessarily when it's 8 p.m. up. It could be anything. It could be death. It could be disease. It could be anything that none of us will expect but can happen. And Jesus is saying, as long as you have time, you must do the work of he who sent you. How those truths really, you know, goes around in your mind help you know how you feel about witnessing for Christ. Maybe we can. Some people were blessed to live up to 90, but not everybody will be, or even 70 or 50. But if today were your last day, how do you live your life? Jesus said the night is coming when no one else can work. Maybe you would have the desire more like, I can only do this if I didn't have to be on the radiation all the time at the clinic. Or I would have done this if this, but why not now? I must do the work of he who sent me. I tell people that I think if I want to be waiting alone, just okay, till I get to Togo or Africa before I do ministry, well, what if I have 3 months to live? Or a year, or whatever more than that. It's just today, whatever we are his witnesses. John was his witness. Be also his witness. Let the people know that he is the light. Let's pray. Father, we thank you And we praise you for John's message here, helping us to understand that Jesus is the Word and He's the Son of God who became flesh, lived among us, and we saw His glory. He was full indeed of grace and truth. Lord, we pray. Maybe we are not John the Baptist, or we cannot probably witness the way he did. But I think today we had more opportunities and means than John did. So we pray you help us that we will be reaching out actively to our neighbors. We are not the answer to what's going on in our nation or around us, but we believe we are your servants. We are the tool in your hand that you want to use to let people know that either violence or whatever it is, it's simply because there is no light. Father, we pray that you give us good week, and we thank you for life that you gave us. Help us to use it. It has a deadline, and we don't want to be surprised. Give us the strength and the courage to serve you all the time. In Jesus' name, amen.
Please take your hymnal, turn to hymn number 387. Stand with me, and we're going to sing 387, Just As I Am Without One Plea.
Pastor Ken is not here today, but it's never been too late to reconcile with Christ or even get to know Him. I'll be more than happy to give you all the time I can if you want to know more about this Christ and what He did for you. I believe our contacts in the bulletin, and we are here to serve you. I believe you can talk to other people here. Andy's the Eric is dead. Steve is here. We'll be more than happy to have you. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your love. We thank you and we pray for your blessing upon the congregation, that as they go in your name, be with them. Give them peace. In Jesus' name, amen.
The message you have just heard was provided as an outreach ministry of Calvary Bible Church in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. For more information, please visit our website at calvarybiblefdl.org or call at 920-921-0530. Thanks for listening, and may you grow in grace through faith in Jesus.